Okay, give me a sound test.
I can't quit you, Jason.
Yeah, you can. Just go back to your wife. That was my sound test. She. All right, everybody, get ready to listen to a podcast. I'm your host in the virtual studio. With me is your other host, and we are getting ready to make a podcast. I didn't think of anything to say before, and this is a really stupid idea, but you have to listen to me because I'm the one with the microphone. God, this song is really long. All right, everybody, let's do this. Let's get ready to JBC. Joe, are you there?
Yep, I see what you were trying to do there.
Yeah. Do you remember last week when we did the Yeti? We did the Yeti joke and we sang it to each other?
Yeah. I heard that back and I was just tickled pink, sir.
Well, I put it to you that what I just did was stupider. And
oh, that's right, because I declared that it was the stupidest thing that we had ever done.
Yes, and what I'm saying to you is our podcast is a meta podcast, and I am dedicated to keeping the J-curve holographically at the bottom every point we go up. And what I'm going to do is always make the last podcast, not this one, but the last one, our best one, by making this one terrible.
I was thinking for a moment there that you wanted to hold that, you know, like the boxing announcer does, just hold that note, but then you kind of backed off and you started over. Like, I thought you had an idea, and then you were like, oh, fuck this idea.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I practiced in my car for 3 or 4 hours today, and then I forgot it. So, yeah, it's kind of where we're at right now with life. So, anyway, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. This is it's one of those times, and I've said this at the beginning of many podcasts, but it really has been a long week, and I'm tired, and I feel a little torn when the podcast starts, because one, I'm like, oh, I'm too exhausted to be doing a podcast, but then the other side of me is like, no, like this is a lot of fun. Like, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm wondering if I can do it. So that's how I feel today, because it's just been such a long, hard week there at Taco Bell. And I can almost feel it, like maybe you're going to ask me how the week went, but oh my God, I don't even want to talk about it. See? So, and maybe that's the only thing I have to talk about. So that sucks.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you got other things that you could talk about. I'm listening to you, but I'm also trying to find a clip of Natalie Imbruglia saying the word torn, because you said you're torn, but I'm afraid I'm just going to end up playing her whole damn song, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm not going to do that to our listener. I feel for you, though, man, if you've had a long, tough week. I have had the opposite of a long, tough week, so when I say I feel for you, I'm lying. My wife and my son are out of town, and I have been doing nothing but playing video games and eating hot dogs.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Just reverting back to adolescence. Sounds wonderful.
Adolescence.
Really.
Reverting back to when I was in my late 30s. I guess I was still an
reverting
adolescent.
Reverting back to the heyday of the juvenile late 30s.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking, I am a little, when I'm exhausted, I'm torn about doing the podcast. The week makes me feel like my asshole has been torn.
Wow.
And then you brought up Natalie Imbruglia?
Yeah.
And I realized I could obscenitize it and say, my asshole is torn.
There you go.
And that's the funniest thing that I've said so far, and that doesn't bode well.
Doesn't bode well for what? I mean, you mean for the podcast? We still got 66 minutes or 56 minutes to get funnier than my asshole is torn. I'm all out of TP. I don't know how would you do it. You're the genius. I'm not. I'm really embarrassed that I even know the words of that song, because I'm a hipster, Joe. And hipsters make fun of mainstream stuff, and I'm a hipster. Hey, I have a question for you. Let's get this show started. I got a question for you. Do you got any nicknames?
Do I have nicknames?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a cousin from the other side of the family, which I don't think you ever met him, because the two sides of the family, you know, my mom's side is that side, and then there's the dad's side, and the two rarely interacted,
right?
But when I was a kid, my cousin Jamie used to call me Snowy, because it rhymed with Joey, and
okay.
And he would call me the man from Snowy River.
I like that.
Snowy. And because I lived, you know, I lived in a place where it snowed all
yes.
the time. And that is, I don't know if any of you knew this, but sometimes it snows down on Payne Street in Sevierville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It snows everywhere. Global warming.
Yeah.
Did our mutual grandfather ever call you anything besides Joey? Here's what I'm asking.
I don't know. Do you know this? I'm getting the sense that you know what my nickname was.
No, I don't. See, I was thinking about nicknames today, and it occurred to me that I think the first time I remember being called something besides Jason was my earliest memory is our grandpa calling me Jake. And I just assumed that you must have gotten a nickname from him, too. But I think you guys moved out of the area where our grandfather was a lot earlier in your life. And so, I was around him a little bit more often. So that might have been why I got Jake.
Well, we would keep coming back. But I was literally, I think, an infant when we moved away from there.
What about
– let's just say Kansas.
Yeah. Did you – let me see. Did you have any other nicknames like when you were in the band? Were you like Joe Guitar or like Joe Strummer or Joe Fingers? Anything like that?
No. Well, the lead singer of this band I was in when I was like 20, and I think that's as long as the band lasted. I was only 20 years old the entire lifetime of the band. She used to call me JoJo.
Okay.
Like Joey JoJo.
Yeah.
And she would introduce me that way on stage. I was the bass player in that band.
Okay.
Joey JoJo.
Joey JoJo.
I had a crazy dude. It's funny because he really was crazy, but his nickname for me was Loco because he thought I was crazy.
Okay.
And here I am describing him as crazy. Clearly he thought I was crazy. That nickname kind of caught on in this little circle of friends that he was a part of, and so was I. He called me Loco.
Loco.
So we got Snowy, we got Joey JoJo, and we got Loco.
Okay.
My brother just used to call me Dick Breath.
Dick Breath. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Doesn't rhyme with Joey.
No.
It has nothing to do with Joe. It's just hurtful.
Well, Broey Bro wasn't what you'd call really creative when it came to naming people. He went with the old standards. They called you Loco. When I played soccer as a youth, my nickname was Psycho.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I've got it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Psycho and Loco show.
Psycho and Loco, ASA. Don't you know I am Loco? We would go play these soccer tournaments, and one time we showed up, and I don't know how it worked out, but every single guy on the other team was a lot bigger than we were. I think there was a mess up or something. Like, we were playing way out of our age group. I don't know. Anyway, I decided.
Did they have mustaches?
Some of them had the starter facial hair. Yeah, honestly, they did.
Some starter hair.
Yeah.
Starter lip hair.
And so I decided I'm just going to go for it. And I was very, very rough in that game. And I mean, I'm talking about like, I don't know. I don't even remember how old we were. I'm 5'2 at the time. I'm throwing my body at guys that are 6'2, 6'3 and knocking them over too. Cause they're like, what is this little shit? Whoa. Where'd that come from? Holy, what the, we lost the game like 18-2 or something like that. But that's how I got my nickname. And the other guys on my team didn't give me the nickname. It was their moms watching me play who called me Psycho. And I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I like a nickname that was given to me by teammates' moms.
When soccer moms call you Psycho, it's a little I don't know. Like that's a little concerning, isn't it?
It's a little off-putting, yeah.
But I think a lot of soccer moms are psycho, so that's just, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. A lot of them are loco.
That's in Taco Bell parlance, we call that projection.
Yes, you do. Any other nicknames? I'm trying to think of any I've had. You know, a Jason, Jay, Jake. I tried to get people to call me Stone for a little while. That didn't take hold.
I like that. That's kind of like a, you know, a WWF kind of. Stone. Why did you like that name so much?
Just because it was ridiculous. I was going to say, I'm going to look up right now on the internet, what's your WWF name? And see if there's, you know, because like people say, oh, your Star Wars name is the middle of your street you grew up on and your dog's veterinarian's brother or whatever, right? So I'm going to look up.
Well, that's your porn name right there.
I think porn name is the street you grew up on and first dog's name or something like that. So, okay, let's do this because we're interesting people on an interesting podcast. What is your wrestling
name? What you just said is funny because what if people are like, you mean my porn name is 13th Street Fido? Like, that's not a good fucking porn name at all.
I think it's dog first and then the street. Like, I would be Ruffy Holyoke, which is, I don't know.
I still think Fido 13th is not very corny.
Well, you should, you know, if you're, I don't know. Fido the 13th is just really weird bestiality horror porn.
Funny, this now we're getting back to how I've been advertising because I've been advertising our podcast.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, I put horror, I emphasize horror because I feel like we go back to it a lot. We've had an entire episode on it, but I also think that, and you do this too, but maybe I do it a little bit more, but like there's a lot of like violence and creepiness and shit. So I actually advertise without you didn't like put your stamp of approval on this, but I'm telling you now, Jason, I promote our podcast.
Yes.
With horror imagery and horror, just straight up horror. Like if you like horror, listen to this podcast. Because it's horrifying. See?
Yeah. Meta.
That's what horror meta.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I cut you off. And that was a nice slurp, by the way.
Yeah, we're working on our Foley. I found a website here. It's what's your pro wrestling name? So okay. Yours apparently is Irksome Dragon. Wait, no, I put in the wrong name. How do you spell...
How did you figure that out? Don't you have to interview me, or don't I have to tell you what?
You just type in a name, and then I guess it like takes pieces, parts, and does something.
Oh, okay.
So, how do you spell Neil?
N-E-A-L.
It's A-L.
Which I think
okay.
is misspelled. Thanks, Dad.
Nice one. No, okay. So, I'm sorry. Your professional wrestling name, Joe, is Scaredy Skyflyer.
I like it. All right, what's yours?
Mine is Fierce Punk. That's lame.
Fierce
Punk. Ooh, you're gonna get it. Fierce Punk. Do you want to generate your well, let me just read what this is. ¿Cuál es su nombre de la lucha libre? That's what it says. So, what is your name? What would your name be in Spanish? It'd be like Jose.
Jose El Nilo.
El Nilo. Let's put. What's Neil? How do you say Neil in Spanish? Neil in Spanish. I'm just going all over the internet right now.
We're reaching new heights of entertainment.
Arrodillarse. All right, now I'm going to put that into the Lucha Libre.
Say it all together.
Arrodillarse. So you are Jose Arrodillarse, and your Lucha Libre nombre es Liso Enforzador. Liso Enforzador.
That's great.
That's the name of this episode. It was going to be Naked, but now it's going to be Liso Enforzador. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but I really like trilling my R's. I used to have a pierced tongue, and I couldn't trill R's, and so I took the piercing out a long time ago, and now I'm like really enjoying
the
trilogy.
I thought we were genetically incapable of doing that because I can't fucking do it. And I was like, maybe it's just a genetic thing. Or maybe you got that from your mom. You can actually do it. But I feel like it's something that no one in my immediate family can do. But you're very good at it.
I am I'm a language nut. And so I practice all of them. Okay, I took some liberties with my name to come up with my nombre de la lucha libre. And because there's no Jason Mark, so I'm going to be Jaime Guerra. Because Mark is like Mars, the god of war. So I just used war. Okay?
That's good.
And you'll be glad that while you are Liso Enforzador, my lucha libre nombre es Chiquito Hediondo. Chiquito Hediondo.
That's pretty good. All right, yep. So we got our what is it?
Lucha Libre.
Lucha Libre names.
You know those Mexican wrestlers with the masks on?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I have trouble with pronouncing Spanish.
Yeah, no problem.
Words.
All right, I know I'm boring the tears out of everybody, but there's one more to do. We got to get your diva name, okay? This is your diva name.
Okay.
So how will we turn Joe Neal or Joseph Neal into a woman's name? Like Josephine?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but do you hear my asshole? Hey, Jesus barking Christ is in here with me.
Can't hear him.
My asshole dog. And can you hear him chewing up a plastic bag?
Mm-hmm. Now
just to fuck with the show.
Yeah.
I don't know how to stop it. I don't know what to do.
Wait till he chokes and dies. No, don't do that.
Fucking dog! Now listen. Hey, it worked.
Awesome.
All right. See? Anyway, so where were you? Now we're going to do the diva name.
Yeah, your diva
and we
pro
need
wrestling
to figure
name.
Out, yeah, my female name is Josephine.
Yeah.
Not Joe Beth. No. Joe Beth Nelson is our producer. Very interesting person.
She's kind of not.
She's frustrating.
I don't know if I'd call her a producer. More of like a communications director. Nah, producer.
She does a lot of things.
Producer is a catcher. You're right. Yeah. All right. But you're not Joe Beth. You're Josephine. And then Neil. How do I turn Neil to a girl's? I guess Neil's the last name, so I don't have to do that, right? So I'll just use.
Damn, how do you turn Neil into a.
No, it's a last name. We don't have to. Josephine Neil. And here's your Diva Pro Wrestling name. Are you ready? It's Cheeky Cheerleader. That's kind of lame.
All right. But. If that's, I'll just take it. That's okay. My diva name. That's great.
And
what's yours?
Mine. I'm gonna
somehow
put it,
I feel like yours is gonna be all badass.
I hope it is. I'm choosing for my female name is Jackie, and my last name is Marks, and I am Molly Dominatrix.
Holy shit!
Yeah,
your name is so much better than mine.
It is.
I'm jealous.
You
should
be.
That's great.
You should be jealous. I'm jealous.
I just
too.
Wanted to bring up my favorite what is it? Roller bitch names or roller derby? Roller bitch. Jesus.
You're gonna get clotheslined for saying that.
Seriously, buy a woman, and I'll deserve it. No, it's oh my god! Now JBC is loudly chewing on a bone. Like I'm gonna have to hit mute.
Let
and,
him
knock him unconscious, throw him out in the yard. But anyway. No. Where was I? What was I just talking about, Jason?
About roller derby women and how you respect them a whole lot, even though you called one a ninja.
Yeah. Yes. Well, here's the thing. I just wanted to say all these names. Roller derby women really come up with great names. And my favorite one is Ivana Stababich.
That's
isn't that
awesome.
Great?
That is really good.
Anyway,
I like that
I thought, you know, it was apropos to our discussion, but so we've got all those names, right? We've figured it out. One of mine kind of sucked. I think all of yours were really great.
Is there a way to generate a roller derby name? I would love
there's
to.
There's got
to
be. Come on.
Because I found a list
here. The robot.
Indie Slammer Jones. Slam Her Jones. It's Slam Her. Indie hit Slam Her Jones. Dora the Destroyer, Little Miss Savage, Rosie the Ruiner, Gourmet Cupcake. Oh, gore. Like gore? Like R. Like blood. Joan Jetpack. Hermione Slay Her. Legend of Zelda.
Hey, look, that's great.
Yeah, I like these.
Now, see, there you can have a robot generate a name for you, but I feel like the human mind can get a little bit more comedic when it comes to generating names, and I think the most fun names to generate, not from a robot, mm-hmm. but from a human mind, are porn names.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought up – have you – tell me – don't you have a porn name that you came up with yourself? It wasn't generated because of a street name and your first pet or something. Like, don't you have a good porn name? Just for fun. Have you ever thought of that before?
No, I haven't. I could come up with one now, I guess. Do you have one you're thinking of?
I thought up one that I thought was so good when I was like 18 or 19 that I was like, I should buy the, you know, and websites were pretty... they were pretty new things at that time, but I was like, this is such a good name that I need to buy the name so when somebody else independently comes up with it and wants to use it, they'll have to pay me for it. Okay? And it's very simple. It's Cockamile Dundee.
That would be a good name for a porn film, I think.
Oh, yeah, but it's also
starring.
It's starring Cockamile Dundee.
Yeah, Cockamile Dundee, yeah.
And that kind of implies that I'm Australian.
Yeah.
But of course I'm not, but I don't care. It's Cockamile Dundee.
Could you mess around with a Dundee like Cockamile Cum Tree or
Cockamile Cum Thee?
Cum Thee. Yeah, like when you are doing it, it's like you're driving a Humvee, you use up a lot of gas, you're bad for the environment. No, that's probably not what you meant.
We got to stick with look.
You're good. Yeah, Cockamile Dundee. That's the way to go.
All right. Now I know I'm putting you on the spot, but you're a pretty creative guy. Now if you wanted to make up your own porn name, what would it be? You could do it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. How about Richard Cat Smasher? No. Cat Masher. No.
Wow, that's... Oh, I see, because you punish pussies.
Yeah, exactly.
I
was going obvious. I don't know, something that, like stone, I like stone, like I said, or you know, something with hard in it, or firm, or...
I was going to say that you have a good start with stone,
yeah.
Anyway. That's a pretty good start.
How about Randy Savage. I think that's actually a name. I think that
it is.
That's a real guy. I have to look him up.
Yeah,
now.
But Slim Jim works. Oh,
hey.
Yeah.
Randy Savage. Who is Randy? Is he a wrestler?
Yeah, and he did the Slim Jim commercials.
Oh, I get it.
Hey, you automatically associated yourself with like a tiny shriveled piece of meat.
I did. But we're back to our WWF name then. So, Fierce Punk. It all comes full circle because I said Randy Savage. Randy the Macho Man. See, I didn't say the Macho Man part, which is why I didn't recognize it in my brain. Because
that's what fucked you up. Yeah.
The phoneme is Randy the Macho Man Savage. It's the whole thing. His real name in real life, by the way, is Randy Mario Poffo, and he's dead. So
I was going to say that was his name because, you know, if you saw some of those Slim Jim commercials, I thought he was going to die during the filming of those. Because you could see the veins it just screamed hypertension. I thought his heart was going to explode out of his chest. Need a little excitement. And then he just falls over and dies.
Yeah. Well, he did have heart disease, apparently. So
is that how he died?
Yeah, heart attack. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I've been telling that joke for a long time, and now I kind of feel bad about it.
Well, okay,
I didn't know exactly how he died, but I did know that he had passed.
He had a heart attack. He wrecked his Jeep, and he died.
And his last words were, snap into a Slim Jim.
Snap into a Slim Jim. Yeah.
Sorry, Randy Savage's mom. She's dead, too, I'm sure. In the clear.
I can look it up. I guess. I mean, I don't know. Should I look it up? If she's dead or not? I mean, does that interest you? Is that something that you would do right now, Joe?
If it isn't totally clear to our listener right now, this is a completely themeless... Themes are starting to take shape, but this is what we call a bareback episode.
Yeah.
Where we don't give a fuck and we haven't prepped anything and we just start talking about weird stuff. And by the time we're talking about Slim Jims and Macho Man Randy Savage dying during the filming of a Slim Jim commercial, then you know that it could go any direction at all.
Yeah. So we are talking about names, though, so maybe we are kind of going to back end into a theme. Like you said, we're once starting to form. I think it's interesting that we plan to do a no-theme episode, a no-prep episode, I should say, because themes sometimes happen, but we planned to do a no-prep episode. But that's ironic. But I think that when you have a super busy week, or rather, when you have a super busy week, that's when you appreciate the no-prep episode. And when I have a nothing-to-do week, that's when I appreciate the no-prep episode. Because I don't want to be, like, wasting my free time calling up the guys at Larco, like, hey, you know, harassing them. I need some copy. I need you to do some stuff, you know.
Right, right.
But when I have a busy week, that's when I relish. I'm like, I can't talk to you guys right now. I got to call Larco. And I think when you have more free time, that's when you relish the prep show. So that's ironic. Both of us are backwards like that. We're two peas in a pod. No, we're two peas in two different pods from the same bean plant. And that's her grandma. I don't know.
Well, here's something, marginally interesting. Maybe not at all. It's that I've been trying to promote the podcast on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'll spend like a couple of bucks. And you were talking to me about this earlier.
Yeah.
You know, if you spend a couple of dollars, you might get a couple of clicks or something. And I specifically was trying to promote the webpage so people would, you know, click on the webpage, download an episode, whatever. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. But a very strange thing happened where it reached a whole lot of people, several thousand people. And the people that were liking it and sharing it, I was like, well, okay, there's, you know, a handful of people, I don't know, maybe like 20 people or something that were liking it and sharing it.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at the stats, and I'm not kidding, all of them are from Ireland, Jason.
Yeah.
All of them.
So we might
I was like, wait, there's no one, because I put a bunch of countries in there, you know.
Yeah.
You probably know how this works better than I do, but
a little bit.
I threw Ireland in there because I'm like, you know, it's Ireland. We even had a whole show for St. Paddy's Day, and
we
went into, you know, everybody's a leprechaun, and the name of the show is Irish Joe, which is weird. And suddenly, it's not like we're exploding in Ireland. And I don't even know if these people are listening to the show. They just like my stupid blurbs, at least. So they're like liking the blurbs and they're clicking on the website, but they're all from Ireland. Like what I'm saying is we don't need to focus on America or any other country. I think we should focus directly on getting a fandom of maybe 25 people. That's my goal. Maybe it's there already, but it's all in Ireland.
They're all.
And by the
Ireland.
Way, we don't have to worry about having more than one listener at a time. But maybe these people are just they're clicking on the website. I mean, come on, dude. We're on our way up. That's all I'm saying. But only in Ireland.
Ireland. I guess I should go look at the website to see if it tells me people have been clicking. I don't know how to do that, but
I wanted to ask you about that because my understanding is you have to run the website through an RSS feed in order to get the stats of who's clicking and who's downloading and shit like that. I know nothing about that. I had a feeling that you knew everything about it.
No, I don't know anything. I mean, I really, really don't. I know nothing. I'm Jon Snow over here, basically. I'm Jon Snow.
You mean you're the king of the north?
No, I know nothing.
Oh, okay.
I'm season three Jon Snow, not season... What season are we up to now?
Look, the season we're on, you would be Jesus and the king in the north.
Right. I'm I'm pre stabby Jon Snow. Pre stab.
Well, that's still pretty good, because that would make you the what is that? The Lord of the Night's Watch. That's not bad.
No.
Let's bring you back to season one, where you're just
no. I want to be
literally a bastard. No. Everybody is humiliating and is being sent off to a place that is shameful to go.
I am those things. Yes, you. I am those things. But I want to be pre-stab, pre-leader of the Night Watch, Jon Snow, because I want my nickname to be something about. I don't know anything. Right? Okay. Here's what I'm telling you. I want my nickname to be, you know, the Jon Snow that just had sex with a redhead from Downton Abbey. Mm. That Jon Snow. So how do we mix all that into a nickname, you know?
Actually, now I'm starting to understand what you want, which is you want to have sex with a hot redhead.
No.
But you don't feel comfortable getting a whole lot of status.
No. Here.
And maybe you want the hot redhead to look directly in your eye and tell you that you know nothing.
That's what I want.
Just to take you down a notch.
I don't want to have sex with a hot redhead, because I am happily married, and my wife, whose name is Angela, she is not a redhead.
Your wife's name's Allison, by the way.
Allison, right. I'm sorry.
I listen to the podcast a lot, so I remember your wife's name.
So, okay. Full disclosure, her name is Allison Angela Mark. That's her. Sometimes I call her Angela. It's like role playing, right? It's like, she's like, who do you want to have sex with tonight, Allison or Angela? I'm like, I don't know. Anyway, here's what I'm saying,
well,
Joe.
This is super rambling, but I want to say, I think this is a lot like your real life, because your hot wife probably looks directly into your eye and tells you that you know nothing.
Exactly.
On a regular basis.
Yes. But
so this is it. This is just a reflection of your actual existence.
Right.
You're
exactly.
Trying to get, might as well just call you Jon Snow, but what is that? Season 4 Jon Snow, maybe? We're going there. That's
okay.
What you are. And my nickname used to be Snowy. So
there you go.
You know,
this is the Snowy
all
show.
Together.
Yeah. And I'll just finish my thought, because it was in my head, and if I don't let it out, it'll fester and rot, and then I'll die. It's not that I want to have sex with a hot redhead, it's that I want to have had sex with a hot redhead. You see the difference there? I want it to be.
Oh yeah, yeah, I get it.
A done deal. And that's the Jon Snow I want to be. Now, here's what's really interesting to me, Snowy. I don't remember what it is that we said I know nothing about. That's where we're at here with this conversation.
Wait, are we now talking about Game of Thrones? Like, what was that in reference to? And
no.
That apply to you?
No, I'm saying that I want to be called Season 4 Jon Snow, that the Jon Snow who just lost his virginity to Redhead from Downton Abbey, and that's what I want to be called, because I don't know anything, but I don't remember what we were talking about that elicited for me the idea that I know nothing. I mean, when I say I know nothing, Joe, I mean nothing. I don't even know what we're talking about right now.
Well, welcome to my world, because sometimes we'll be talking and I get caught up on the tangents. Oh man, thank God you don't listen to the podcast, because it's it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Where we'll hit a tangent, and you seem to track our conversations better than I do, but I will get to the point where, like, I'm so into the tangent that you try to drag me back into what started the tangent, and yeah. I won't be able to follow you. I'll be like, oh, that's what we were talking about? Jesus.
Okay.
So now we're both in that state of mind, and who knows what the fuck we were talking about before.
Actually, I do remember. Sorry. This is embarrassing.
Okay, see? That's your job. All right, so what the fuck were we talking about?
So we were talking about how to track people who clicked on the website. You mentioned RSS, which came from you having advertised on Facebook and talking about Ireland, and the fact that you had been doing some advertising. I don't remember how we got into talking about doing some advertising on Facebook, but that's kind of where it started.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. But how does that tie into you know nothing though?
Well, because you were saying that you don't know anything about this stuff. You know, the whole like how track stuff.
Okay. There we go.
And I was saying I don't know. You said I think you know more than I do. You said that to me, and I said, oh, I know nothing. I'm Jon Snow. Mm-hmm. You said, oh, you're the king of the north. I said no. And he's like, are you Jesus Christ? I'm like, not really, and I want to be the one who had sex with a redhead. And you're like, your wife's name isn't Ellen, it's Ertan. I'm like, no, but then there's the thing with the redhead and the past tense, future perfect. And you were all like, no, I don't remember where we're going from this. And then I told you.
Good.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, I just think it's great that you're actually, you're able to track our, like, manic, nearly psychotic, tangential conversation at least back a couple of subjects.
Yeah.
Now, if I'll be really impressed by the end of the show, because this is I think it's maybe the most rambling show that we've had, and I think it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But if you were able to draw, like, to explain the timeline of every tangent, because that's what this episode is, clearly. It's just one tangent leading to another.
Yes.
And I'm not challenging you. I wouldn't expect you to be able to do this. It would be fucking impossible. But at the end of the show, if you were like, now, let me do a recap, and then you went through the entire subject-to-subject, completely nonsensical tangent that we've been on and will be on until the end of the show, that would be really impressive. You could probably bullshit it. Now, that's a challenge.
Well, there you go. I could definitely – you want to do it at the end of the show, or you want me to do it now? Because I know everything we talked about right now. I don't know how we got from talking about roller derby names to Facebook, but the roller derby
name – Let me correct you. That's roller bitches.
Roller ninjas. Right?
Yes.
Because we don't say the B word because we respect ninjas. Anyway, nicknames.
Anyway, we'll see. Maybe at the end of the show you'll give us a recap. And it's going to be – everyone will believe you anyway.
Yeah.
Especially if you have conviction in your voice. And I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
Conviction to me is a very scary thing. Have you ever thought about that? Just conviction?
Oh, I thought you were asking me if I ever thought about how you think it's a scary thing, and I have. But you mean just conviction.
Yeah. That's interesting. But I'm just saying, I think conviction is a weird thing because I think it's kind of part of charisma, right? Like, if people just believe, they just fucking believe lies.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Conviction just makes you believe shit.
Yeah.
And I think that's a scary tendency for human beings.
I have a story. I have a story about that. So this is a true story. I was in one of those super nerdy high school quiz bowl teams, right? Mm-hmm. This is the truth. I was, you know, and so it would be like four of us, and we would go to these we go to a meet or whatever they called it, and then the other high school, there's four of them, and, you know, the guy would ask a trivia question, and then you would have to, like, hit a buzzer. So the rule was they had to recognize you before you're allowed to answer. If you hit the buzzer and you blurted out the answer before they said, you know, high school name. Let's see, what was my fake high school name? Beaverton, Jason. If you didn't wait for that and you just blurted out the answer, it didn't count, right? So anyway, I was always super excited for these things because I was a big Uber nerd. And I'm at the quiz bowl, excuse me, and the guy goes, okay, everyone, and blah, 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 we're going through this. And he goes, what does TNT stand for? And I slap my buzzer, like even before he got the second T out, I slap my buzzer, and I said, trinitrotoluene. And he said, that's correct. And then, because I said it with such conviction, right? Sorry, I said trinitrotoluene.
See, you just said it with conviction now.
I screwed up the story with conviction. I said it before I got recognized. He said, you were not recognized. You know what? I am really fucking this story up. That time I got recognized, I said it with such conviction that they gave me the points. And then two questions later, they're like, wait a minute. That's not correct. It's tetranitrotoluene, not trinitrotoluene. So they took the point away, right? But I said it with conviction. Anyway, that was stupid. I fucked up the story. Let me tell you the other part of it. So same meet, we're there. And they ask a math question. I don't remember what the question was, but this time I hit the buzzer and I shouted out 8, right? And as soon as I said 8, two things went through my head. One, I didn't get recognized. Two, 8 is the wrong answer. So the guy goes, you weren't recognized. The question goes to the other team. So one of them hit the button and, you know, they said, you know, Ogburton Carol. And she goes, 8. And then I said, no, it's actually 4. I was wrong. And everyone's looking at me like I'm evil, right? So then a little bit later, it happens again. Math question, I'm excited, I hit the buzzer, I shout 2. And the guy goes, you weren't recognized. It goes over to Oglerton or whatever. So this time they confer, because they're allowed to do that, right? They confer. And they confer, and they finally, and then Carol hits her buzzer. And they say, Oglerton, Carol. And she goes, 7? And then I shouted, no, it's actually 2. I was right that time. And I got kicked off the team.
Oh, man.
Yeah. True story.
So much conviction and so little success.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like the way I told this story.
I thought it was a really funny story, but conviction itself, I think, is not so funny. It's a little concerning.
Did somebody come into Taco Bell today and like, I want a Whopper cheese, and you found yourself making one halfway through? You're like, wait a minute, that's not what we do here.
That's how powerful conviction is. Somebody will come in and be like, I'll have a number 3 regular roast beef with curly fries, and then when I produce them that in an Arby's bag and hand it to them, I'm like, that conviction was so powerful that I just produced an Arby's meal.
Yeah. Why were you thinking about this? How did this come up in your brain?
Well, we on purpose do not talk about this, but I think I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
It's because of Trump. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I have no idea who you're talking about. Are you talking about the guy? He's kind of famous in the Hearthstone community. He's a very good Hearthstone player, and he's really good at teaching people how to play. He's an Asian guy, kind of funny. I mean, generally, he makes me laugh because he's a funny guy. And his name's Trump. I think he's named after in cards when you trump something. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, there's a guy. Well, you know what? We don't even need to deal with who this guy is, but just the subject. The fact is, there is and was a guy. Some people call him Trump, and he has a lot of conviction. A lot of conviction, even though. If you looked into anything that he says, none of it seems to be true. But because of his conviction, everybody just believes it to be true. Not everybody, but a large group of people just seem to think that it's true. I know that we shouldn't breach this. We've agreed to not breach this subject. So I'll just back off now. But. You know what? You asked me why is conviction so scary to you now? It's not the only example, but the example of this historical figure,
yes,
named Trump. And yeah, the whole Trump card thing was named after him.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, it's well, maybe not actually. I don't know. You're a better historian than I am. But it's and
I'm
look,
on season 4 Jon Snow. Boom.
Yeah. Well, okay, let me think of another example of just conviction.
Okay.
Now, conviction, I thought that as the internet grew and information is more readily available, that conviction would be less powerful because then you could look up some reputable source and your conviction would be shot down just by a fact.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, I found a fact here. So even though it sounded like you were telling the truth, it's not the truth. So fuck you, because we have this hive mind called the internet, and we can like cultivate facts out of it if we wish. Now, and if we're careful about it, by the way, because there's a lot of bullshit on the internet also.
Yes.
But that's not the case. It seems that conviction, to me, is more powerful than ever. People don't – and maybe that's because there's so much bullshit on the internet – that people don't even want to take the time to figure out, to fact check and to figure out what's real. Let me tell you a story. When I was like 16, way before the internet, a friend of mine was like, there was a couple of times where a debate will come up, right? Where it's like, hey, remember Beauty and the Beast? My friend was like, remember Beauty and the Beast? I'm like, yeah, it's the guy with the horns. You know, the beast with the horns. My friend was like, that motherfucker didn't have horns.
Right.
He did not have horns. He was just a beast. He was like a big, dog man. He was like a big wolf man. He didn't have horns. That's like a ram. He was like a dog beast, like a bear beast type of thing. He didn't have horns. And I was like, motherfucker, he had horns. And I said it. I really meant it. I wasn't sure if I was right, by the way. I was like, he had horns. And my friend was like, oh, maybe he did. Now, we didn't have the internet. See, right. Today, if you had that argument, you would just simply go to the internet, look for an image of Beauty and the Beast. You would see whether or not he had horns, and that would be the end of the discussion. But and even though I was right, that's not what won the argument. What won the argument was my conviction about the horns. Is that the stupidest thing I've ever said?
No. I'm just processing because there's so many things going on in my mind right now. We've only got 15 minutes left. While you were talking, I went ahead and looked up Beauty and the Beast, right? Because as you said, we have the internet now and I can find out, right? And I found a picture from, I think, the most recent movie, I think. Mm-hmm. And okay, he's got horns. So you were right when you were 16. What was that? 20 years ago or whatever it was. So for 20 years, you were right.
Thanks.
He's got horns. I didn't realize he was portrayed by Dan Stevens. I didn't know that. I don't know who's in these movies. But you know Dan Stevens. He was in Downton Abbey. I mean, we were talking about Games of Thrones, but I mentioned the redhead was also in Downton Abbey. Dan Stevens, he was in Downton Abbey. And you know what? He was also a Booker Prize judge. And that has nothing to do with anything except that I wanted you and I to do an episode about books one of these days, and that reminded me of
I think that's great.
And then overarching all of those thoughts is this idea, like you said, people speak with such conviction, and you thought the internet would be a way to end arguments, but it seems to be creating them because everything is so subjective. I was reading a few articles not too long ago about how we do live in this age where what people feel is considered to be more valid than the truth. When our certain president guy was talking, God, I can't even talk myself. One scotch, Joe. It's all it takes to knock me off my key.
Well, you said our president guy, and I envisioned you with air quotes, and right. Then you said talking, and I thought that was air quotes too. It all seemed very appropriate to
okay.
me.
That's what it was. It was all it was visual. You know, in a press conference, he said to a reporter, "You know, I got more votes than anybody ever did before." And then the reporter said, "Well, no, so-and-so got more votes." And then he immediately responded with, "Well, Republican." Like, he's changing his story. He's like, "Well, I got most votes." Well, I meant I got more votes than any other Republican did. And then the reporter shot that down, too. So, well, actually, that's not true because of this guy, right? And then his response to that was, shrug, "Well, that's what I was told." As if that's valid at all, right? The fact that he said, "I got the most votes," that emotional feeling that he was communicating is what is considered valid, especially by the people who listen to him. They don't give a damn about facts. What I think, Joe, I think what happened is our access to all these facts, it inundated us with so much reality, we decided we don't want anything to do with reality. Right, we're done with reality. We would rather live in this privileged world that we make up, and in that world we make up, facts are relevant. They honestly, genuinely feel there's no such thing as global warming. They genuinely feel that there's no such thing as institutional racism. They feel that they have a feeling. I've got this feeling in my heart that women have all the rights that men have. They have that feeling, and so it is impossible, literally impossible, to remove that feeling from them with facts. The only thing you could do is change their feeling in some way. I think you should do it with a red hot poker up the pooper, but those are hard to come by.
Well, it's not just the feeling either, though. It's come to the point where it's not just a feeling that you have. You already said it. It's also like you can just cite a reference that means nothing, and somehow that's okay. And that comes back to conviction. Because if I said, "Listen, there is a unicorn horn growing out of the top of my erection, so I have a unicorn penis," yeah. And then you would be like, "That's not true. That's not true." And then I'd be like, well, it is true. I can feel it. The horns coming out. That's what you would say. It would be a feeling. But then it's like, no, those don't exist. And then I would say, well, yeah, they do. Yes, they do. They do exist. Unicorn penises exist. And then you might say, that's ridiculous. What do you have to prove to me that a unicorn penis exists? And I might just say, well, that's what I was told. Somebody told me that.
Right.
I'm hearing that. Hearing that. Which, by the way, is just a whirlwind of nonsense, because what do you mean? Somebody told me that my own dick had a unicorn horn? None of that makes any sense.
No.
But they can end the argument with, somebody told me that. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and that's
I've heard that. And you can't verify that even in the huge hive mind of information in the internet. That's the one thing there's no way you can verify it. You're not citing anything. You're just saying, look, that's what I understand. Somebody told me that. And that's your final citation. Like that is what makes it true, is because somebody told me that. And it's all total bullshit.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have come up with a better something better than the unicorn horn penis. Like, that's so disturbing.
It is pretty disturbing. I think what happens is you put somebody in a position of some kind of authority, and the way it used to work is you trusted that they had the wherewithal to always speak correctly, right? And so whatever they said must be true, because they couldn't lie and they wouldn't lie, right? And when you put a buffoon in that place, it's not just that he takes advantage of this cult of personality, it's that he falls for it too. I'm telling you, I bet that guy actually thinks that because he said it, it must be true, right?
Well, you're talking about the CEO of Taco Bell. Now, that's true, because I hear him speak a lot, and I can't believe how much power he has. And I can tell you that he believes his own horseshit.
Yeah.
And the horseshit changes at every turn.
Right.
Now, but nobody can really corner him. And his conviction is strong, even though he'll say one thing at the beginning of a sentence and contradict it by the end of the same fucking sentence.
Yes.
The conviction is strong. And even you can fact check it, and it will indeed be wrong. It will be inaccurate, false. But that's okay. See my problem? Like, conviction seems to be now almost the most important thing. Now, you can end with the argument that, well, that's just how I feel, and I tell it like it is. Boom. All right, you're done, so I guess you're right. Or you can say, well, that's what I heard, which is, look, if you were writing a paper, if you're writing your dissertation in anything, and your citation was, like, you have a footnote, and then you go down and you look at the citation, and it says, I heard this somewhere, that would be preposterous and rejected immediately. It means nothing.
Right.
And yet it seems to mean a whole lot right now. So you get what I'm talking about? Like, that's why this is all scary. I hope that I'm making a point here. But
I think you are. This is not unlike the phenomena of what are they called? You know, people tell these stories, like, I heard from my cousin's uncle about what are those called? You know what I'm talking about? Friend of a friend stories. What am I? Urban myths. There we go.
Yes, thank
urban
you.
Urban myths. Yeah. Right? So we all
it was
know.
Was right on the tip of my tongue, and then you said it. Very good.
So yeah, there's urban myths, and it's like, well, one of the ways you can tell that it can't be true is that people can't give you a source. Well, I heard this from my uncle's brother. I guess that would also be my uncle. I heard it from my uncle's friend, right? And he heard it from someone, right? If you can't get back to the main source, then it's probably not a true story. And I think even if it turns out to have been a true story, I think it would behoove a person to always doubt. Like, here's the thing. If you can't prove it to me, I'm going to pretend it's – I'm going to – I'm going to act as if it's not true, right? So in the court of law, innocent till proven guilty. In the court of life experience, wrong until proven right, you know? And that would definitely get away from this conviction.
If you have something that you'd like to put forth as the truth, the burden of proof is upon you.
Right.
It's upon you. But if you're going to take care of that by saying, well, that's just how I feel, you've proven nothing. And if you're going to fall back on, well, I heard that from somebody that heard it from my Uncle Ted, who I highly respect, which, by the way, is okay, that's horseshit. But what we're hearing now is even less than that. We're like, I just heard it somewhere.
Right.
And somehow that's fucking good enough.
I think we've really come to something here, Joe. I really do think that assume that whatever anybody tells you is not true unless they can give you the factual backup for it right there on the spot. And especially if they say, that's what I heard, then it's not true. Like if you said to me, my name is Joe, at least that's what someone told me, I am now assuming that you're telling a lie because you used the phrase, that's what I heard. If the phrase, that's what I heard, is used, then what they just said is a lie. Just go with that. And I think we'd all be better off.
Yeah. Well, that actually makes my earlier example make a little more sense, because if somebody says, I have a unicorn horn coming off the top of my erection, and that's true because I heard that it's true, come on. Like, right. That argument means nothing.
No, it doesn't. Well, there's a couple things in there that mean nothing. And I think this is we
thank you.
I'm on your side. Hey, I've got a unicorn penis. And then a person's counter-argument to that is, there's no such thing. That's not the right counter-argument, right? Because even if that person's wrong, that there is such a thing, that's not proof the person does have it. Like, I could say to you, hey, Joe, I've got a three-winged penguin in my house. And you could say, there's no such thing. And then I go in there and say, see, here's a picture of a three-winged penguin. You're like, oh, by God, they do exist. I must have been wrong. No, I don't have one. I was lying the whole time. Right?
Well, and you've touched on something there, too. And you haven't touched on a unicorn penis because they don't exist. And if they do exist, I hope that you never touch one. But
right.
I digress slightly. What I'm saying is, somebody makes a statement. You say, that's... I don't believe that because you have no proof. And then they go, well, prove that I'm not saying the truth.
Right.
Guess what? The burden of proof is on you for spouting bullshit.
Right.
You must prove your bullshit. I don't have to prove to you that you're full of shit. You have to prove to me that your outlandish fucking preposterous statement
right.
is true. The burden of proof is upon you, sir. Your Honor.
Right. Because you can't prove – it's hard. It's almost impossible to prove a negative anyway. You know, someone says, I have a unicorn penis. I don't think that you do. Oh, yeah, prove it. No, I'm not going to prove that you don't have a unicorn penis. And I think what happens is, this is the world we live in, Joe, because like a person says something and they back it up with, that's what I feel. That's what I believe. That's right. What I heard. That's what seems to be right to me. And that little ball of conviction, right? That's what you're talking about. Is just so slippery, because anything you throw at it doesn't quite address it, right? If someone says, I've got a uniform penis. Okay, first thing you say is, they don't exist. Well, that's not really an argument, right? Even if the guy doesn't or have one, the fact that they don't exist is not what he's asserting, right? He's not asserting the existence of unicorn peni in general. He's saying he's got one, right? And if you say to him, I've got a unicorn penis, and he says, that's ridiculous. Why would you even say that? It's like, again, that's not a counter argument. Why would you say that? It has nothing to do with his asserting with conviction that he's got a unicorn penis. And so I think that's why it's so slippery, and that's why it's so effective, especially when you're dealing with talking to millions and millions of people at the same time. If you got in a room with that guy, the one we're talking about, the one in the White House, and had a conversation with him in just 5 minutes, at the end of those 5 minutes, he would know that you think he's a complete dickhead. He would know that. you would talk to him for just 5 minutes, one-on-one, and at the end of those 5 minutes, he would walk away going, that guy thinks I'm a dickhead, right? But when you're spouting off feelings and saying, I feel and I believe, and this is what I heard, to millions of people that can't tell you how much they think you're a dickhead, you walk away actually believing the shit that came out of your mouth. And that's the problem with this mass communication. I think that's what the internet has given us, Joe.
I wanted the internet. Look, I'm a little ambivalent because I think the internet has been one of the greatest things that the human race has created, like aside from airplanes. By the way, goddamn airplanes, man. It's like the this is a slight digression, but you have
no,
to
it's
admit.
A major fucking digression. Let's just be honest here. You went from internet to airplanes, man. Goddamn.
Well, look, I'm talking about accomplishments of the human race.
Yeah,
and
okay.
The internet is fucking fantastic. And yeah. Yes, we're dealing with kind of unforeseen weird backlashes where, you know, we thought it would be good for the dissemination of good information, and it kind of has, but it's also done the opposite, which is the dissemination of fucking horseshit. It's yes. Suddenly horseshit is splattering under our eyes and we can't even see straight anymore. But let me tell you, airplanes, that's good shit. Whenever you see the fact that we've been able to lift building size objects carrying human beings off of the ground and fucking flinging it through the air 35,000 feet over a distance that used to take months and months and months and deaths and
yes.
Like, terrible. I mean, that's a fucking accomplishment. In fact, the more that I talk about it, I think there's less drawbacks to the airplane than there is to the internet. So I'm going airplanes all the way, fucking Jason, airplanes.
Well, I did go to a list of mankind's, personkind's greatest achievements, and airplanes is number 4 on that list. So you
number 4. Yeah. All right. Now I'm excited. It's all been tangents.
Yeah.
And fun for me. I don't know about our listener. Ian, thank you for tolerating this episode, but here we go. Holy shit. The top accomplishments of the human race? Of humankind.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to use the word race because right. that's a microaggression of some kind, I'm sure.
You and your microaggressions. This list puts traveling to the moon at number 1, electricity at number 2, and fire at number 3, and then puts flight at 4.
I'm on board.
Followed by writing, photography, theory of relativity, music, evolution, and vaccines. Internet comes in at number 11, and then followed by nuclear weapons,
Internet's
language,
number 11. Wow.
Mount Everest, the Higgs boson, the human genome mapping, eradicating smallpox.
Excuse me,
TV,
Mount Everest?
Created, well, yeah, conquering Mount Everest is number 14.
Oh, okay.
On this. No, not just the mountain. Like, we found it. That was pretty awesome that we found the biggest
thing
on
Earth. Well, I
thought
you just said Mount Everest, and I was like, okay, that whole list is bullshit.
No,
let's
I'm
make
not.
Our own.
I was. Well, if you want to make our own list, we can do that on another show. Look, here's the thing I'm trying to get at. You think flight is amazing. You think it's so amazing and it ranks right up there with the internet. In fact, what you really meant is the internet is so great it ranks right up there with flight. And the internet is pretty cool. However, what it's done is, and we've talked about this a billion times, it has spread the subtle stink of every human being into the nostrils of every other human being. And we're realizing that you can't adapt your olfactory nerves fast enough to ignore the stink of everyone. You can ignore the stink of the other 18 apes in the cave with you, right? But when we're talking 18 million apes or 18 billion apes, that's a stink that's hard to get away from, right? And the internet is a place where only those who have the most conviction are heard, right? When we're talking about the babble of 7 billion people, only the people who have the most conviction. And conviction is not something that can be asserted merely based on fact. It can only be asserted from feeling and the gut and heart. And I think most importantly, Joe, this is the key. Conviction comes from what you want. If you want something, then you will speak with conviction. If you don't want it, or you don't believe it, or you don't feel it, you're not going to be able to. And so the key to speaking with conviction is to want it. Want it, Joe. And if you want that unicorn penis, god damn it, Joe, you shall have it. I believe that. I want you to have it. I'm pointing at the screen right now. This is an audio podcast, God damn it.
Okay.
Anyway, now, we're look, well over time.
There's a couple things I need to say about that.
Yes.
I don't think conviction comes from – I think you're right. I think it comes from desire, and that's compelling to other human beings. Like if you want it and you're able to express it in that way, it's compelling to other human beings. But it – do you know what I think it is?
What is it?
Like power. Power. Respect. It's not that you want what you're saying to be true. It's that you want what you're saying to be believed. And if people believe you, that's kind of a power stance. Like, people believe me. It validates me. You're right. It's a desire thing, but it's also like a – hold on. This is a power thing. Like, and not everybody that has conviction is coming from this position or has this kind of unhealthy motivation behind it. I think some people that have conviction are really passionate because they're focused on the truth and they want the truth. And there's nothing wrong with being passionate about the truth. But if you're being passionate about your own bullshit, there's a power problem. And it's your desire for people to believe the horseshit that you're spewing. And that is a power problem.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. Which is, you know, we'll go back to nicknames. We're going to round this all out here in our last, because we're 5 minutes over. I want to be called Season 4 Jon Snow.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. I want to be called Season 4 Jon Snow. And we're saying that with conviction.
Season 4 Jon Snow. Can I introduce you that way next,
you should,
the next
yeah.
episode?
This is S4J4 right here. JS. S4JS.
S4J4.
I'm sorry.
S4JS4. Very good.
Yeah, I was thinking of RJD2, and I was getting all my numbers confused. No, I want to be called Season 4 Jon Snow because I don't know anything, and I want everyone to know that I don't know anything. And if I speak with conviction, it's coming from a place of not knowing, not from a place of knowing. There have been a lot of articles and a lot of research done about how people who are the most sure about things are the least accurate about those things. The people who are the most confident in what they know are actually more wrong than people who are like, I might be wrong here. We should do some more research, right?
Oh, my God. I just heard – well, that's a phenomenon. It has a specific name. It's the Dunning-Kruger effect. Am I correct?
Yes, you nailed it on
now,
the
I'm
head.
I'm not even looking at the internet, goddammit. No. That is the Dunning-Kruger effect, right?
Yeah. Yep.
When you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, and somehow people that are not based on facts or this is what I've learned, those are the people that have the most confidence in what they're saying.
Yes.
People that learn more and more and more, they actually find that a lot of knowledge runs in contradiction with other knowledge, and they become a little bit less confident in the overall picture of what is real.
Right.
Now, people that have real fucking conviction about some topic, it's mainly going to be the Dunning-Kruger effect, which is I feel like I'm right about this, and it ends there. I'm not gonna try and figure out whether what I'm saying is true, or I don't even give a fuck whether it's true. And those people have real conviction,
right?
And so does the President of the United States.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And that's where we've come. I am Season 4 Jon Snow. You are Snowy Joe. And that guy up there is just a big ass hoe.
And that's about as political as we've ever gotten.
And we'll ever get.
We did something that we totally intentionally tried to not bring up, but we finally did. I think this is a good time for me to bring up. I think in the next month, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, Jason. Will you give me the freedom to just say this?
Yeah, say it.
We are going to have a full-on Trump supporter on this show.
Yep.
And I don't think it's going to be funny. I just trust you in this, and I'll try not to chime in. What I want to be is like the mediator.
Okay.
But I want Jason to debate a Trump supporter.
Okay.
And we'll do that in a while. And,
yeah.
uh, I had to say it. It feels like a breath of fresh air.
I'm looking forward to it. With all of my heart, all of my liver and my kidneys, all my organs are looking forward to it. We're well over time. I'm playing the outro music. Joe, any last words?
Huh. I guess my last words would be, who knew that medical care would be such a complicated thing? Trump, motherfucker!